Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Maya Amolo is a Kenyan singer-songwriter and producer whose music explores life's intricacies through the lens of alternative R&B with Afro-pop sensibilities. Maya's sugary vocals and soft harmonies have amassed her a loyal global listenership and the homegrown support of East Africa's creative community. Her debut project, Leave Me at the Pre-Game, released in 2020 and took listeners through a journey of self-acceptance and healing. In 2022, Maya released her debut album, Azali. Maya has established herself as one to watch, having been covered by tastemaker platforms, including NPR, The Native Mag, OK Africa, Harmattan Rain, and Tangaza magazine. In 2023, she partook in Spotify and Color X Studio's first ever writing camp in Africa. She was also named Apple Music's East Africa Up Next Artist in November of 2023. Up next on Celeb Savant, discussing her journey in the entertainment world and her latest music projects, is Maya Amolo. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I am in Nairobi, Kenya. I'm doing great. I'm very warm right now, very comfortable. I'm doing okay, excited, happy, doing my best. There's a lot going on in the world, so I'm doing the best that I can.
Let's rewind. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think to yourself, cool, I want to be in this music world, this creative world? And how did that journey progress?
Oh my God. Like literally as early as I can remember, like as early as, yeah, the earliest memories I have, I do remember being like surrounded by music and, you know, having like a piano in the house and having like my grandparents playing music and my parents playing music. But when I really locked in on it as like a career, I was about 15, 16, I would say. I was in high school in Eswatini, actually. And that's when I started listening to like a lot more like R&B and a lot more of like the new R&B. And I was like, this is what I want to do. This is it.
So from that thought, how were the next steps created for you to become professional?
So what I would do actually is I would take like my favorite songs. So like, for example, if the song is like The Worst by Shani Aiko, I used to like look for the instrumental and then do like a cover of it. And then in the middle, do like an original verse. Then I would upload that onto SoundCloud just to like, you know, build my writing confidence. And then in the middle of that, I would find like, you know, free instrumentals like Erykah Badu type beat, you know, her type beat, Bryson Tiller type beat, and I'd like write my own music on top of those and then upload those to SoundCloud. And then eventually, I don't even know how it happened. I think I was like at some kind of meet in the studio and I was like singing in the back. Yeah, I was singing in the bathroom and a producer heard me singing and I started working with him and the rest is history.
So if you weren't singing in the bathroom, we wouldn't be speaking right now, am I correct?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about. Yeah, probably yeah. Not.
Or if the producer wasn't there at that time. So how did that actually happen? Did you know the producer or did he catch you coming out the bathroom and say, hey, I want to work with you?
Actually, what happened is I came out the bathroom and somebody else heard me and he knew the producer. So he was like, oh my gosh, I was just in the, he was like, not to be creepy, but I was like, he just heard me singing in the bathroom. And then he let the producer know. And then we and the producer exchanged contacts and started working together.
How do you create a song?
Oh my goodness. In the midst of chaos. Like every single time someone asks me what my process is, I literally have no answer. Sometimes like the music will inspire me. Sometimes I'll wake up at 3 a.m. and like open my notes app and write down lyrics or like, you know, a melody that's in my head in the middle of the grocery store. Like I'll just like hum it into my phone. But I find when I'm in not necessarily like a happy headspace, but like a healthy headspace. Because I don't always have to be happy because some of my songs are sad. But as long as like my body and mind are healthy, everything just works.
Yeah. I love what you said because a healthy mind space doesn't necessarily mean happiness. You might be still feeling anger, sadness, mourners and loss, but you're still in a healthy mind space because you're processing it and you're feeling the emotions from that experience.
Most people run away from that. You actually gave me an aha moment as well. Thank you.
It is, because I honestly, like, I know that I'm not really processing something well if I can't write about it. That I know that I'm too sad, or I know that I'm too angry. But it's like, once I'm in a healthier headspace, it's like I still feel all those things, but I can kind of like rationalize them and channel them into like the art that I'm creating.
Do you write by yourself or do you collaborate with other writers?
Well, I used to write by myself, but then more recently, I have been working with like other writers, and it's so much fun. It's so much fun. It makes the process so much more fun. I figured if I love working with other producers when I'm making music, why not experiment with other writers? So I've been doing a lot more of that this year, and like with the songs that are coming out.
When you started writing with other writers, were there any aspects of it that surprised you, were part of their process, or it was just natural and organic?
A lot of it was natural and organic. Some people have, like, I remember when I was at this writing camp, this Spotify writing camp, Manana was there, and he had like studio socks like to help him like get comfortable. Like he had like studio socks, and I think somebody else had like studio Crocs or something. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But it does make sense. Like, the more comfortable you are in the studio, maybe the less anxiety you feel, or like less shyness you feel. So that was kind of interesting. Also, like, the shared note app was like a new thing. Like, everybody just kind of like gets into the same notes app, and like you can see everybody's lyrics and stuff. But everybody's process has been different. I'm also trying to learn more about like what helps me get into like a new headspace when I'm in the studio. So it's nice. It's been nice being with like other like writers and people in the studio in general.
And when you're working with a person that you've never worked before, when you get there into that space, do you dive straight in, or do you need to take a moment to get comfortable with them and their energy?
Definitely need to take a moment to get comfortable. So when I was writing like the first single I dropped this year with Uaya Tajiri, he came and, you know, we all kind of chatted a bit, like, what have you been listening to? Like, how's music been going? And then I played him a lot more music than like the song that we worked on. And kind of got into the vibe. I do think that if there's like an awkward vibe in the studio, I probably won't be able to do anything, because I'd just be overthinking the whole time.
Yeah.
So yeah, there is like a bit of like, you know, chit chat before, like, you know, what's your favorite meal? Like, what have you been up to? What are you doing after this? Things like this. So yeah.
I know it's very secretive in your world. Can you tell us any tidbits that you can tell us what's happening in the next few months?
Of course. Well, first of all, I'm dropping a lot of new music. I'm dropping my album, my sophomore album, this year. So that I can tell you. I have like a couple of features on there. I cannot disclose them yet, but very excited about that as well. And also a new single coming out like soon.
I love that you're doing an album. I speak to a lot of artists these days, and they say albums are not as relevant because it's about the EP and about the single. So big shout out and high five to you for releasing an album and going that path. What was the inspiration for you to say, okay, I'm going to do this?
So what I did last year that was different from before is I would just try to go to studio at least like once a week, or like once every 2 weeks, and just like make music. And I do find that when I'm in like a certain headspace or like era of my life, the songs will kind of reflect that. Like, I never go into making an album with the intention of making an album, but like it kind of just, the songs kind of tell like a cohesive story. So once I kind of noticed that, I was like, okay, this could be an intro, this could be number two, this could be this, that, and the other. And yeah, then it's an album, and I'm like, okay, let's drop an album this year.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange. Thank you to you guys for all the hard work that you do. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the listening from song one to whatever number. I'm not sure if you are aware, but there's a massive upsurge of physical around the world. Last year, the year before, in the UK, there was 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. Last year, also in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on. There needs to be a high level of exchanges for a product to be in this basket. And because of the upsurge of CDs again, CDs are now in the basket. And the research is showing it's the teenagers, the younger kids that are diving into this world. And then we also have the streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
Oh my goodness, hectic. Like, very, very hectic. I think people still haven't fully understood streaming. I also am a very big fan. Like I ideally want to like make CDs and vinyls and even like little cassettes. Like, you know, the ones that you could, they had like, yeah, like little cassettes.
I love it.
I want to do all of that. I think it is very powerful having like a physical thing from an artist, like having something that you can like, you know, hold and store. I'm also very sentimental, so you know, I love like a stamp of the moment that, you know, that I was in the, you know, record store or whatever buying something. That's really interesting to hear. I didn't know that. That makes me feel very optimistic because I do think that those things are important. I would like to put out physical media. I think in the era of like social media and streaming, a lot of like artists' moments can feel like very fleeting. You know, aside from like the tour and stuff, it's just like, okay, you release it and then it's New Music Friday and then it's New Music Friday next Friday and your music is not new music anymore, you know. But I feel like with like a CD, it's like, it's there. I don't know how to, it's like,
Man,
yeah, anyway.
I get it. I get it.
Yeah, definitely something I'm considering. Definitely something I hope will be continue to grow for artists to be able to share their art that way.
What are your feelings around social media?
Oh my goodness. One thing I will say is that I don't think there's so many artists that have like found their stardom and their career through social media. I think even me myself, I can't imagine how much more difficult it would be to reach other people in other markets were it not for social media. I do think that the issue that I've been having lately with social media, and I think part of my next single is kind of speaks to this, is that it emboldens a lot of people who I think should not have much to say. I think that like there is like a false sense of security when you're behind a screen that you can come online and like talk down and belittle and everything. And it's kind of like a fine line between like freedom of expression and just like being unnecessarily unkind. I was watching, what is this documentary? Is it called The Social Network or The Social Something?
Yeah, the movie.
Yes, yeah, not the movie. It's like a documentary about social media. And they were just saying that like the human brain is not programmed to come, like wake up every day and see like millions of opinions and like have millions of people perceive you and, you know, hundreds of thousands, ten thousands, however. So I am waiting for that documentary in like 50 years time that tells us the effects it's had on like our brain and evolution and whatever. But I think it's cool. I think with anything as big as that, there's always like the very good and the very bad.
What do you enjoy about performing live?
Well, I love to sing, so that's nice. I love like rearranging my songs with a band. I love like reinventing them, and like I love incorporating like other songs and covers and stuff. And I think more recently, like the more I've kind of grown in my career, I always do get choked up when I see people singing. I'm still not used to like, oh my gosh, you guys know the lyrics. This is cool. So I enjoy that very much. I enjoy the whole process. I love getting my hair done. I love getting my makeup done. I love doing my nails. I love picking the outfit. It feels like a very clear indicator of the progress I make as an artist every time I perform live.
I'm that dude right up in front. I'm dancing, I'm jamming. I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two songs, one or two videos, one a couple of photos, then I put it away. Linking this to the social media discussion, I notice a lot of time these days people are posting, tweeting, videoing a lot, and potentially using a bunch of screens instead of a bunch of eyes. From your perception on the stage, do you feel this takes away from the experience of the person, or it's just where society is at the moment?
I think it is where society is at the moment. I mean, as an artist, it does make me feel good that people want to video what I'm doing, unless I'm crashing and burning, in which case, put the phone away. But, you know, I do find that, like, even when I'm at a concert and I do take out my phone and record, and then I put my phone away, I feel like I've missed something, but I do appreciate having that video later on. So, again, it's just kind of like that balance. I don't think it takes away from the performance. Sometimes it does feel a little bit dystopic. Like, when I watch a lot of concerts. I was re recently watching Doja Cat, I think at Lollapalooza in Brazil. I don't know which one it was. And it was just, yeah, like a sea of phones. And it's like, oh, it's kind of dystopic. But, you know, I think, you know, for Doja Cat, it is nice to have like a lot of people wanting to like immortalize the moment or whatever. So again, it is just about that balance. I can't tell whether it's good or bad yet.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 hours, 10 minutes, 5 hours, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand that and I recognize that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five artists once we finish this conversation, who would those artists be? And if you can think of specific songs of those artists, from those artists, what songs would you play from them?
Okay, so first song I would play is Can't Stand It by TG Black. Amazing song. Second song I would play Leaving Summer by Maui Moon. Amazing, amazing track. Third song I would play, well, I've been listening to this song called Make Believe a lot by Karen and Blinky Bill. Fantastic, fantastic song. Feel Away by Amaray and Molly and Melissa. And the fifth song, what have I been listening to? My gosh, I don't know. Ooh, Guidance by Maya Molo.
So Maya, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
I would like to say you should listen to Maya Molo. I've heard that she's pretty sick. So, you know, give that a chance. What have I been feeling in my heart lately? I've been feeling a lot of pride about like all of the music that's coming out of East Africa. So I want to just take a moment to be like, you know, go on Spotify, look up the Nairobi playlist and treat yourself. It is amazing what's happening. And then stay tuned. There's like more magic to come. So, you know, stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.